Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 48 degrees in sunshine. Today's Wednesday, August 29th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. It was a quiet primary election yesterday, and the results are still unofficial, but here's the latest. Measure 2, perhaps the most hotly contested item on the ballot, was solidly defeated last night. It would have reestablished a coastal zone management program in Alaska. Some 61% of voters rejected it. Ballot Measure 1 is split down the middle. The proposal would have allowed municipalities to raise the limit on property tax exemptions after a vote of their citizens. With 97% of precincts reporting, it is down to a single percentage point favoring the no side. None of the legislative races in the KCAW listening area were contested. Political newcomer Jonathan Christ Tompkins of Sitka collected about 1,250 ballots for the Democratic nomination. Incumbent Bill Thomas of Haines wrapped up the GOP nomination with more than 940 votes. The district also includes Craig, Huna, Angoon, Cake, and Metlakatla. The new Senate District Q also saw one candidate from each party, each an incumbent. Sitka Republican Bert Stedman won his party's nomination with 2,870 votes. Democrat Albert Kukesh clinched his party's slot with around 1,460 votes. The primary winners face off against each other in the November general election. There was a contest in the southern part of Southeast. Wrangell Representative Peggy Wilson knocked out two Ketchikan opponents to win the Republican nomination for the new House District 33. Ketchikan is the largest community in the district, which also includes Saxman, Coffin Cove, Thorne Bay, and several other Prince of Wales Island communities. Wilson won 46% of the 2,145 ballots cast. Ketchikan's Agnes Moran took 32%, and Patty Mackey, also from Ketchikan, got 22%. Ketchikan Democrat Matt Olson was unopposed in the race and will face Wilson in the November 6th general election. Incumbent Republican Representative Kyle Johansson of Ketchikan will appear on the ballot as an independent. Turnout was relatively low in Sitka, but neither poll workers or voters were blaming the new super precinct at Harrigan Centennial Hall. Pauline Fredrickson, who in the past has voted at Sitka No. 2 at the United Methodist Church on Kimsham Street, said she had completely forgotten that Tuesday was the primary election. But once she remembered, she had no trouble finding her way down to Harrigan Centennial Hall. "It makes sense," Fredrickson said. Voter Charles Bingham also had no problem with the consolidated precinct, but as a downtown resident, he had always voted at Harrigan Centennial Hall in the former Sitka No. 1. Bingham was concerned that some voters who lived out on Sitka's road system might find the new super precinct a problem if they lacked transportation. He conceded, though, that Sitka's bus system would be a convenient solution. Just over 600 ballots had been cast in each of Sitka's two new precincts by 7 p.m., trailing Sitka's previous low turnout election, the 2006 midterm primary. Election worker Dorothy Orbison said her former Sitka No. 1 precinct at Harrigan Centennial Hall that year was well ahead of two of the newly combined precincts this year. No one was pointing fingers. Pre-election forecasts suggested that it might be a low turnout election in Sitka. The ballot had no contested legislative races. The race for Alaska's lone seat in the U.S. House of Representatives has been low-key compared to past years, and interest in the two questions on the ballot, though important, was tepid compared to some other recent initiatives surrounding the Pebble Mine and cruise ships. And let's not discount the culinary challenges during the primary. Election worker Grace Brooks said the biggest complaint she heard from voters throughout the day was that Sitka's new super precinct had no cookies. Sharon Cisna of Anchorage has won the Democratic primary in the U.S. House race. Cisna will face incumbent U.S. Representative Don Young in the November election. Young handily won the Republican nomination with 80% of the vote. Young is seeking his 21st term in the office. Cisna, who represents Anchorage in the State House, beat Matt Moore of Anchorage and Deborah Chestnut in Tuesday's primary. The Democrats struggled to raise money in the race. Of them all, Cisna was possibly the best-known candidate after her flap last year with the Transportation Security Administration in Seattle. The breast cancer survivor made national news when she refused a pat-down at the Seattle airport and had to use a variety of modes of transportation to return to Alaska. She visited Sitka by ferry this past spring. The city of Sitka will ask for proposals to develop affordable housing on the Old City Shops land. The property is located along Halibut Point Road in the 1400 block, and it's been mostly vacant for years. It's one of two areas of town that city officials hope to see occupied soon. During its regular meeting last night, the assembly asked city staff to draw up what's called a Request for Proposals, or RFP. The document would be fairly broad. It would ask for housing options and zoning options to develop affordable housing on the Old City Shops land. It wasn't the only piece of city property that came up last night. Assembly members had a larger conversation about affordable housing, and a good portion of that conversation focused on an area known as the Benchlands. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
It can be difficult to find an affordable place to live in Sitka. How difficult? Well, the federal government has a definition for affordable housing. It says members of a household should not pay more than 30% of their annual income toward housing. But in Sitka, many do.
This is what really is scary to me.
That is John Holst, and he gave the assembly some numbers. In 1990, 22 years ago, about a quarter of the people who rented places to live in Sitka paid more than the federal government said they should.
By the year 2000, it had gone up to 38, and in the year 2010, it was 60%.
So at the start of this decade, a majority of renters in Sitka paid more than the 30% of their annual income just to put a roof over their heads. What's more, Sitka has a rental vacancy rate of 1.2%.
Statistically, 5% is supposed to be a healthy vacancy rate, which allows people to move. At anything close to 1%, people are pretty much locked into where they're living.
Holst is part of an ad hoc committee looking at what the city should do with the Benchlands. That is a collection of land north of town that the city purchased back in 2007. Sitka paid about $3 million for the property and dropped another $10 million to develop it. The hope was to put the land up for sale and make some money in the process, but lately the city has simply been hoping to break even. In December, the city tried to auction off some lots in the area, but had no takers. Holst's committee came up with 7 options for the assembly. They range from the status quo, which is continuing to sell lots in Jacob Circle, to selling all the Benchlands at auction with a minimum bid of $3 million.
Pick a priority that you're comfortable with, and then go down the list one more. Go to the next one that makes you just a little bit uncomfortable, because I think we need to be doing something that is going to change the status quo.
There are pros and cons to each option, of course, in how much control the city has, in how much money it gets back, and in whether the sale creates any affordable housing.
There is no one single simple solution to the affordability thing. I'm convinced of that. I was involved with a lot of that with CETA as well as on the assembly. It was a big push when I was on the assembly to do that. I mean, we hired somebody to do it. And then we didn't listen to them. But the more you decide on what the land development's going to be, the more control you take, the less likely you are going to have somebody that's going to want to come in and do it.
Some assembly members favored option 7, which was to sell the entire Benchlands. The idea of getting the city out of the land development business was appealing, they said. In the end, though, no decision was made, but Holst felt some urgency and quoted something he heard from Assemblymember Bill Payden.
The development on the Benchlands was imminent in 1962.
Holst urged the assembly to do something before the October 2nd municipal election, fearing that a new assembly will put the conversation back at square one.
This is probably as capable or more capable a group of 7 people we've had to deal with this issue in a long time.
Well, thank
and
you
I
for
think
that.
You ought
we
to
will
just
then.
Dig into it.
All righty.
If you don't get it done by the election, so be it.
I'll look at our meeting schedule.
The assembly ended up scheduling another meeting to discuss the matter. It takes place September 20th at 5 p.m. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Last week, Fox News revealed that former Navy SEAL Matt Bissonnette wrote a new memoir about the mission that killed Osama bin Laden, No Easy Day. Bissonnette's family used to live in Wrangell, but he grew up in Aniak near Bethel. Although critics have argued that the book could compromise national security, those opinions appear to be softening. Brandon Webb is a former Navy SEAL and author of another SEAL operations book, The Red Circle. He edits the blog SOFREP.com, which discusses issues related to U.S. Special Forces. KSDK's Ann Hillman spoke with him. Webb says that the new book may pose more of a risk to its author.
Recently, I spoke with a few sources at U.S. Special Operations Command that have said that the book apparently does not reveal any sensitive information.
When Fox News released the author's name, did revealing his name endanger either himself or any of the others involved in this action?
That's the problem. You know, you've got some people in the community that may be angry, and then the next thing you know, they're leaking his name to media outlets. And by participating in that, what Fox did was essentially create a intelligence, what we call a threat chain, and you know, they can now they have his name, they can start pulling open source documents. Like I know one of the individuals that bought Matt's house, and now his escrow documents are public, and that address is compromised, potentially compromising another active duty guy.
Do you think this book creates any sort of national security risks?
Without reading it and knowing what the content is, it's hard to know and say.
That was author and former Navy SEAL Brandon Webb speaking with KSDK's Ann Hillman. No Easy Day is scheduled for release on September 11th. Some weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for decreasing clouds, patchy fog, and isolated showers this morning. Highs 61 to 66. Northeast winds 5 miles per hour, becoming northwest 5 to 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear, patchy fog late, lows around 46. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, patchy fog in the morning, highs around 59. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.